to Bible study tonight for with Calvary Fellowship Monument for Wednesday, the 21st of October. The month is flying along. Great. Tonight we're going to be studying back in 1 John. We'll be finishing up 1 John together this evening. And it'll be 1 John chapter 5 tonight. And I'll be able to finish that series. It's been a busy day for me. I was working up in Johnstown and had to drive back to get here, but I made it, still in my work clothes, but I'm here to be able to share with you guys tonight, and I'm so happy that we could be together to study the Word of God. And 1 John, and this will be our sixth study, and tonight will be chapter 5. And as you come home, and just like I'm doing, just getting a chance to relax for just a second, take a deep breath, it's nice to get back into the presence of the Lord and to be able to be with one another and to be able to get our day back in the proper perspective and proper focus, putting God first in all things and not letting the troubles of this world weigh on us so heavy, whether it be work or just duties at home or children or whatever it would be, taking care of a parent. You know, there's lots of things that can weigh us down, but to get into the Word of God and to keep ourselves focused on the things that are important are what we're about when we get together on Wednesday evenings. I can't wait till the time when we can join together and be able to share a meal together and dig into the Word of God and to ask questions and banter a little bit back and forth as we delve into the Word as Bereans. But right now, I'm just happy to be able to share with you some of the things that I've learned through the study in 1 John, and hopefully you're learning things as we study as well. Next week, Pastor Tony will be starting a series on the attributes of the Lord, and I pray that you will be able to join him for that. That will keep us going in our studies here on Wednesday evenings. And Pastor Tony will be back on Saturday night as well. And thank you for those that were here last Saturday, because I was able to share from the Lord from Psalms, and I was very grateful for that opportunity to share from Psalms and a little bit from 1 Samuel in 21. So I do. I am excited about what the Lord has to do in finishing Galatians this Saturday with Tony, and I mean to be able to keep going in Galatians with Tony, and for Tony starting up the series we'll be having on the attributes of the Lord. And let's open up this evening with a word of prayer, and let's just put the focus of the troubles and distractions of this world away, that we can spend some time seeking the Lord and letting those things not weigh us down, and to remind ourselves what the important things are in the Lord and the important things are in our walk with him and in our families. Heavenly Father, I thank you for guiding us this day, for being with us, for keeping us here so we can be together this evening. Lord, we look forward to your coming return, but until then, help us to do what you've asked us to go into the world and make disciples, and to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as ourself. That's all we're asked to do. We're not asked we don't have to do anything else for our salvation. Just trust in you and believe in you, and we have the confidence that you have saved us. We don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to be circumcised. We don't have to live in the law and sacrifice animals. We don't have to do these other things, for the blood that was shed upon the cross by Jesus was all that was necessary to forgive us for our sins. And Lord, I pray right now that you would forgive us for our sins. Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and allow us to draw close to you as we study your word this evening. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would be safe from the fires, and that they would be safe from the troubles of this world that weigh us down. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, we thank you that you're with us this evening and being able to finish up the book of 1 John together. And I know, you know, there's a lot of things going on, a spike in COVID, so we need to be a little more careful with what we do when we go out and wearing our masks a little more often and just being aware of those that are around us. I know that it can be troubling and scary times, but the Lord has us in his hands, and these sort of things don't take him by surprise. And so as we go forward, let's trust and know that God has our best in mind as he's living inside of us And as we step forward and go forward in things, we don't have to fear the things in this world. And that we have assurance that God is with us, God is protecting us, and God is leading us in the way He wants us to go. And that He will be with us to protect us. And this evening's study would be titled, I guess, Overcoming the World. And chapter 5 starts off saying, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father, love the children born of Him. And whoever loves the Father, our children, and love the children that are born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome to us. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this victory that is the victory that we have overcome the world, and that is our faith that helps us to overcome it. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. And not with water only, but with water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that the Spirit and the water and the blood and the three are in agreement. And if we receive the testimony of men, I'm sorry, I missed my place there. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that He has testified concerning His Son, that the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed, and he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who does have the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So these things John wrote, to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And that is great confidence. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have requested of Him, and that we ask of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask God for him to give life to those who commit sin, not leading to death. And there is a sin leading to death. I do not ask that you should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. And we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. And this is chapter 5. And we'll go back and we'll look at some different things in chapter 5 as we go. But I just read that, and so now we'll take our time digging into it a little bit further. And we start off with, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if we believe Jesus, is our Messiah. Jesus is our salvation. We turn from our sin and we seek forgiveness from our Father. That's what it's talking about, that we know Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to salvation. If you believe that, you are born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the children who are born of him. And it's nice to know that if we are born of God, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we know that the Father loves us and that he lives in us and that we're born of him. He gives us that chance to have life because he wants all to be able to receive him, and he wants all to be able to come into the kingdom. But he does not make us do that. He gives us that free will to receive him or not. But for all those that believe, we can become the children of God. And what a joy that is. It's nice to know that we are now adopted into his family, that instead of living in this world of sin and death, which we are born into here on this earth, we are now born into life, into the kingdom in heaven for eternal life. And that's what the Lord is really talking about. He's talking about us enjoying that here, because we can have that starting now on earth. Eternal life starts as you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and his love will enter into us and lead us in from now on, and lead us into eternal life. And we'll have that confidence, as it says further on here in the chapter this evening. And by this, we know that we love the children of God. We need to be able to love each other and care for each other. And that's one thing we've talked about the past few weeks, is spending some time getting to know other people and getting time to encourage one another and to admonish one another to stay in the Word of God and to stay in prayer. And that's once again what I'm going to admonish, that we as a body know what the needs of our brothers and sisters are. Take some time to ask somebody, had a chance to read? Have you had a chance to pray? Are things okay with you? Pray for somebody physically, for their physical healing. Pray for somebody who's having an emotional struggle. And that happens quite often during these times of COVID, with feeling alone and the fear that can grip you. And just the confidence of knowing that God loves us, God cares for us, and nothing is going to be able to take us out of his hands. And nothing will be able to take us before he's ready to bring us home to him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. When we observe his commandments, the commandments are very powerful. The Ten Commandments are broken up into two: how we love God and how we love our brothers. And when you break them up into those two groups, it's easy to see how in the New Testament, when Jesus was asked by the lawyer, you know, what is the greatest commandment? He says, the greatest is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second one is like it: to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the two great commands. And that breaks up all the Ten Commandments into all the different groups. So what he's asking us to do, when we love God, we observe his commandments, and we will love our brothers. We will be looking out for their needs. We'll be looking out for those who don't know God yet. We'll be looking to make disciples of those. For the Lord does not want anyone to perish. He wants us to share his love with the world that is around us. So I pray this week that we get that opportunity. We seek those appointments that God has for us, that we can share that love with those we work with those in our family, and to encourage our spouses or our children or our parents to love the Lord. Our brothers or sisters, we can call them on the phone, ask them how they're doing, and you know, say some of those hard things that sometimes can get us in trouble when we're sitting around the table at Thanksgiving. You know, do you know Jesus? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Do you know that he is the Son of God? You know, those kinds of questions we can start to ask. I mean, we need not to fear asking the people that we love about these things. And that way there's no regrets. There's no issues there. You can have issues within the family because you ask those things, because the world does not want to receive Jesus. But we also need to share and let people know where that answer is, especially when they're hurting and having troubles. And we need to be reaching out to those who don't know him. And to those that do, we need to be encouraging them and letting them know that God loves and God cares. So for this, the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Once again, in the New Testament, Jesus says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. It is not like carrying the weight of the world that he bore on the cross for us. You know, when he said, Lord, you know, if you can, take this cup from me, for he took our punishment for our sin upon himself as he was upon that cross. That's a burden we can't bear. We can't save ourselves. That was for Jesus to save us. That was his job, and he did it. And then we need to be thankful. We can wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me another morning. Thank you for saving me, because I can't do it by myself. I can't do it on my own. For we fall short, and we are sinners. But yet his truth and his righteousness makes us holy. And he makes us righteous by what he does, and not by what we do. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What a great promise that is. There is no fear on this world that can overcome. There is no thing on this world that can overcome us. COVID can't overcome us. You know, whoever gets elected can't overcome us. For God is the one who is in charge of our life. You know, and you look at the New Testament. You know, Paul writes a lot of his epistles from jail. You know, and you're thinking, how can someone sitting in jail, you know, say that it's not trouble and that God overcomes the world? It's because the world does not hold us. We are not of this world. Once you become born again and have become a child of God, we start living our eternal life with God. We start living in that way, and we are victorious because we know how the story ends. We know that our Savior has already borne our sin upon the cross and died, but he rose again. And we have that joy inside of our heart. We have that victory that it says next. And this is the victory that we have overcome the world, that is our faith. Our faith is in that God has saved us. God has protected us, not by what we do. By what we do, we fail. But what God does, he does not fail. He doesn't fail if you're in jail. He does not fail if you get sick. God does not fail. For we get attacked because the world does not love us the same way it did not love Jesus and nailed him to the cross. The more we walk with Jesus, the more the world hates us the same way it hated him. But that's the more we know he loves us, and the more he'll fill us with his Spirit as we share his love with those who are around us. And we have overcome this world. And what a joy it is, because we feel so burdened at times by COVID, by where's my next paycheck come from, by I can't pay my rent, I don't know where I'm going to live next week. You know, I haven't gotten one of those calls yet, but we can, because I do know that there are those who are struggling and having troubles, you know, and I'm not going to pretend that those things don't happen. But that's why we are a family, to help each other when we have burdens, when we have troubles. And that's how people will know that we are children of God, because we care and love each other and sacrifice our love for each other. And our faith is what overcomes the world, because of our faith in Jesus, who has that power, who overcame the world. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. For Jesus was baptized with water, and his blood is what was shed for us. And it wasn't not only with water, but also with water and with the blood that we are saved. And then it talks about the third, which is Spirit, is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. And that Spirit comes inside of us as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. As you confess, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's the only way to salvation. When you trust in him, when you turn from sin and seek to be his child, he hugs you as a father who's been waiting for you to come to him. He will give you that comfort and that protection. And nothing can take you out of his hand. They can take this earthly body. They cannot take you. For you are in his hand, and you are victorious. And it says in the Bible, in Revelation, we get to stand with him in heaven as he judges this world. And we don't have to be judged by the world, for we have been forgiven through Christ. It's through the water, through the blood, and through the Spirit that we now live. We live in a time where we have the Holy Spirit. And what a joy that is, to have God himself living inside of us. That's one thing in the Old Testament they did not have. They had to come on holy days and sacrifice animals to be right with God for just a minute second before they sin again, and had to come back and sacrifice another animal. We have that inside of us. We have God's forgiveness that lives inside of us. And it was by the water and by the blood, but by the Spirit who lives in us as we trust in Him. If you have not been saved and you don't know what that means to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can tonight. So just say, Lord, this world is troublesome. I fear from this world. I want to be in the hand of God. I want to be a child of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, the God who has created this world and the God who has salvation for me. And you can have that, and the Spirit will fill you up and He'll help you. And He helps you to overcome this world. He helps you to overcome addiction. He helps you to overcome the other troubles of this world. That doesn't mean you're going to be living high on the hill and making millions of dollars. Because as we read with what happened to Jesus, what happened to Paul, and what happened to the others that believe in Jesus, that's not what they had. But what they had was greater than all of that. They have a salvation which lasts forever and that cannot be taken away. The love of God will be inside of you forever and ever. You have a heavenly home that He's gone to prepare for you as He was risen from the dead. And what a joy it is He's creating that for us. We have the job to share and make disciples while we're here on earth. And we have the joy to love one another and to love our brothers and sisters. We need to do a better job, as I've talked about the past few weeks. But we have the Spirit inside of us to help us do that. If we then receive the test... Okay, I need to go back one verse, sorry. For the three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they all three are in agreement... You know, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is even greater. If men say, you know, the sky is up, the earth is hard, you know, that's the testimony of men. The testimony of God is greater, with Him saying, I will save you. I will protect you. I will help you overcome the sin that you're struggling with in your life. You know, you can be struggling with all kinds of different sins, but the Lord can help you through them all. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that He has testified concerning His Son. And what has He testified concerning His Son? That Jesus Christ is His Son. That Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. That's what it says right here. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. And the one who does not believe in God tries to make God a liar. But God is not a liar. And it will be found out in the end when the judgment does come. They will find out that God isn't a liar, that it is true that He is God. He is in control of all things and that He will judge all things. It is not for us to judge, but God will judge. It is us to warn you that there is judgment coming. And the world is afraid and does not want to hear it when we say there is a judgment coming. But there is. God will not let sin live forever. God will judge sin. And the evil ones will not rule forever. Their time is short. And what they have will not last. And we have God's assurance on that and the confidence in that. Once again, we're going to read about that here in just a moment. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself, and the one who does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. God gave his Son. He is our heavenly Father who's cared for us. He's the one who sent his Son, and his Son came willingly. But it's the same God in the Old Testament who loved the people of Israel. He's the same God who loves us today. He's the same God who gave us Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who willingly gave himself up as a sacrifice so that we could be with him forever. And he has overcome this world. There's nothing in this world that can take us away from him. For all the world can do is take our bodies away from us. But to be absent from this world is to be present with the Lord, as Paul said. And we have this confidence. And that's coming up in the next couple of verses here. And the testimony is this. That God has given us eternal life. That's what I've been talking about. And life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you feel like your life isn't fulfilled? Do you feel like you're not doing what you're meant to do? If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's true. Because you won't find fulfillment in money. You won't find it in cars. You won't find it in women. You won't find it in relationships. You find it in Jesus Christ Himself. Because He has overcome this world. And that's one thing that is lasting and true. For a brand new car, get scratched. Relationships, you're going to have troubles. You got two people wanting two different things. That's why you don't want to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. If you're a believer, marry a believer. For you two can then be bound as one, for you have one goal in mind, to love the Father with all your heart and to love others as yourself. And that way you can come together. And that way you can overcome the struggles that happen in relationships. Is it perfect? No. But God is perfect. And that's where the answers come from. It's from Jesus Christ Himself. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you know that you have eternal life. He wants to give all believers. John is writing to all believers, and the Holy Spirit through him is wanting us to know that we can have confidence, that we believe in the Son of God, so that we know that we do have eternal life, that there is something beyond this blue globe, you know, floating around in space, that there's a God who made it all. There's a God who has a purpose for us. And our purpose is to love Him and to follow Him. And He is there to answer our needs. And even some of our desires. And you're going to see that in just a moment, that He hears us when we pray. Because why? Because of us being good? No, but because we are His children. And that's a joy. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And it's not just ask anything. It's ask anything in His will. For He has a will and a purpose for each of our lives and what is best. He knows the next step which is right for us as His children. He knows where we need to go, what we need to do. And if we bow to the Spirit, He'll give us what to say. You know, we don't have to force, sharing. What we do is seek His face. And what's inside of our heart is what's going to come out when we're speaking with people. And that's what's going to draw them to the Lord. It isn't a prepared speech. It isn't any fancy words. What it is a relationship with our Heavenly Father that people are seeking. They're seeking a love that lasts. You look at relationships in the world today. How many people in this world are married and get divorced? How many people think love is for a lifetime and then 5 or 6 years down the road, you know, I'm tired of trying to work this out, you know, and they go another way. Can there be a love for a lifetime? People want to know, are they going to be loved forever? You know, you have parents that go off in another direction, you know, and leave children alone. And children walk away from their parents and leave them alone. And they wonder, is there anyone who cares and loves unconditionally? Yes, there is. And that's God Himself who sent His Son Jesus. That's why He's talking about that we have a confidence before Him. That when we come to Him, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us in whatever we speak, we know that we have the requests which we have from Him, that we've asked from Him. When we ask it His will, we know it will be done. And if you're not sure, then you can pray, Lord, this is what I want, and if you're willing, give it to me. If not, shut that door, don't give it to me, and lead me in a different direction. Give me confidence and peace in my heart, and give me the strength to carry on. And that's what the Lord will do, because He will answer our prayers. It says He will hear us. At the beginning of the verse, if you ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we would pray according to His will, we know that we have those requests because there's nothing that God cannot do. He says if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can tell that mountain to be moved into the sea, and it will. Because if we ask in His will, it will be done. For He's the God who created the mountain. He's the one who created the sea, the star, the sun, the comet. He's made it all. And we know that our God is powerful enough, for He has more than a thousand cattle on the hills to meet our needs. He is a God who loves us. He knows where our need is. Sometimes He just wants us to ask. and to say, I have a need. I pray if it be your will, provide it for me. And sometimes we have to look for a different way because we try to do it ourselves. I don't have enough money for rent, so I'm going to go get a second or third or fourth job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You notice that word I comes in a lot? Where does it come in to say, Lord, I need your help. Help me in this situation. Show me what I need to do. Sometimes it might be to take a second job. Sometimes it might be to humble yourself and to tell a brother or sister, hey, I'm struggling. Is there some way that I can get some help? You know, there's things that we can do to help one another and to love one another. So that's what we need to do. And come to our Heavenly Father and ask Him, you know, in His will, and it will be done. The Lord does hear us, and the Lord does answer our prayers. The next part is a little interesting. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask God for him to give life to those who commit a sin not leading to death. That's not saying that you pray and that their sins are all forgiven because you pray for them. What it is, it's saying if you're praying for a brother who's committing sin, pray that God would give him life. What is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus coming into his life, repenting of his sin, and turning to God and believing that Jesus is the Son of God for their salvation. It's talking about leading those to himself. So we pray for them to receive salvation. We pray for those who are living in adultery. We pray for those who are living in fornication. We pray for those who are living a life who are stealing. We pray for those who only are trying to grab as much as they can of this world, not remembering that they can't take it with them when they go. And just praying for their salvation. It could be a loved one. It could be a friend. It could be a person at work. You see them in sin. It's for us to pray, Lord, we pray that you would show them in your mercy the same love you showed me by showing me that Jesus is the Son of God, that he forgives sin, and that by receiving him, he'll fill us with the Spirit and give us the power to trust in him, that sin will be forgiven, and he will help us to overcome those sins and the power to overcome it. So we need to pray for those. So if we see one praying, we need to ask of God. He shall ask of God. How do you ask of God? That's prayer. You have a prayer time in the morning, you have a prayer time at night. If you're at work and you feel the Spirit inside of you, say, I love that person who's in that sin. Take a moment and ask, Lord, if it be your will, open up my heart to share. If not, help me to be that witness, but bring someone, bring an intercessor, which just means bring another believer or another person who can share the love of God with them to bring them into the kingdom. It says to pray and to ask. It tells us to ask, you know, and that's what we should do, is ask and not stop asking. There's many people who've said, my grandmother prayed for me, you know, until I was 35, 40 years old to receive Jesus, and I finally did. She prayed for 35 years since I was born that I would be a believer. That's what it takes sometimes. Sometimes it takes the patience of prayer and the consistency of prayer and to keep knocking at that door and saying, Lord, you've told me to ask. I am asking again. So you can use this verse to remind yourself, I need to continue to pray. I need to continue to pray. There is a sin leading to death, and I do not say that you should make a request for this sin for another. And you shouldn't request, you know, that even that person be saved, you know, from that sin. That's a hard thing to do, because unrighteousness is sin, and there's lots of sin that's not leading to death. A sin that leads to death is one that does not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God and someone who wants to worship someone other than God, you know, eternally and not just for a moment. For there are those who love idols in this world, but we can turn from idols. You know, it's grieving that Holy Spirit. It's the one who has said in their mind, like Pharaoh, who has hardened their heart so hard that they cannot repent anymore. And that's a hard thing to say, but there are those in this world who have hardened their hearts so hard they can't. But until that day, he shall request of God for him, for those. We know that no one who is born of God sins. I sin. Every pastor I know sins. Every person I know sins. And it just takes one sin to have us be condemned to death forever. But we have our salvation in Jesus, who bore that sin upon himself. So how can John say, we know that no one who is born of God sins? Is it because we don't sin anymore? No, it's because the Spirit of God is living inside of us. The Spirit of God that forgives us for our sin, for our salvation, is not dependent upon how good we are. It's dependent on God's love and him living inside of us. So it's not that we're not without sin. We sin, but we are forgiven. In Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross, the propitiation, as it said earlier in the chapter, for our sins, he's the one who took that upon us, and he bestowed upon us his righteousness. So is Jesus righteous? Yes. Is the Spirit inside of us? Yes. So then we're righteous. But does that make us perfect? Does that make us the Son of God? No. We have to bow to him. So we're only without sin because of Christ. For we are sinners, and we must constantly come before him and ask for that forgiveness. And that's what he says next. But he who was born of God keeps him. God keeps us. And God knows that we are his children, and he holds us. That's what it says. He who is born of God keeps him. We keep Christ inside of us. And the evil one, it says, does not touch him. So that doesn't mean that there won't be evil in this world. We won't have troubles because of the evil in this world. What it means is he can't touch our soul. He can't touch us. What is us and what God has forgiven inside of us? He has eternal life for us. It said we have that confidence of eternal life inside of us. So we need to keep walking in that. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And you can see that if you just look around this world, you can see that the evil one is in control of this world. You can see it by the different things on TV, about they have quotas on how much gay relationships are in TV shows. You know, they want to promote that, so they have their own quotas to put on there. They want to promote that lifestyle. They want to promote sin. And we need to stand firm that sin is sin. But the whole world does not view sin as sin anymore. They're calling sin good. And we know that that's how we're coming upon the end times, when people call sin good. We need to stand firm as believers and know that sin is wrong and sin is evil, and take a stand for that, and not allow those who espouse that, who say, no, it's not that, that was just back for in those times. Sin is sin and always is sin. You look at, the times of Lot, what God had to say about that, if you want to discuss that further, we can have many more discussions about that. But we know that the world, that we are in the world, and the world lies in the power of the evil one. And we can see that. And we can see that the world is in struggle, as Colorado is burning down. That we're in a world that has decay and death all over the place. But we know that we don't have to be concerned with death. For death with this body just means we get to be with Jesus where he is. No longer in this world of sin where the evil one has power. But we are children of God, and he doesn't have the power to take us. So he can't touch us. And I just like the way it says that. The evil one cannot touch him. We know we are of God, and the world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and that he has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the whole understanding there John is sharing, is that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is the Christ. The Christ means Messiah. He is the promised one to come. The Lamb who is to be slain. And he was. And his blood shed so that we could be forgiven. This is the true God and eternal life. And we know that God is love because of this. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. And that's his last message to us, is little children, guard yourself from idols. We have so many idols in this world, you know, and I have so many idols in my life I need to take away as well. You know, it can be a TV show on TV that we can't get away from. You know, it can be a sports team that is more important than God. You know, well, I can't go to church tonight because the Broncos are on, or the Cowboys are on, or the Raiders are on, or the Patriots are on. You know, there's no football team, there's no baseball team that is greater than God. And God does not have any special love for any one team over another, which, you know, is hard for me to admit, but it is true. God does not have that inclination to put one team above another, except for his. His team is the winning team. Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're on the right team when we receive him as our Savior, when we turn away from sin and seek to follow after him. Little children, guard yourself from idols, whatever it could be. It can be food. You know, you can overeat, especially these days of COVID when you're kind of restricted to be at home. It's easy to just keep opening that refrigerator and grabbing something else out. You know, there's lots of things we can make idols in our lives. It can be your wardrobe. It can be all different kinds of things. I was with a friend the other day, and you know, he has 66 pairs of tennis shoes. I don't know what anybody could do with 66 pairs of tennis shoes. But he has 66 pairs of tennis shoes. You know, I have two. And, you know, sometimes I think that's too many. But, you know, different things can become idols in your life. And we just need to understand that we are Christ's children. And we need to seek him first in all things. And when cars or tennis shoes become more important than he is, or a football team, you know, or whatever it would be, even your work, there's all different kinds of things you could make idols. That's something I would ask you to look at this week in your own life. What keeps you from studying the Word every day? What keeps you from having a Bible study every day? What keeps you from praying every day? You need to see, is that an idol in my life that I need to take away? Is what you do first when you wake up in the morning, turn on the TV to see the news, to see the weather, is that more important than talking to God? You know, those are things you need to judge for yourself by asking God, in my life, how can I walk closer to you, Lord? And what are the idols that need to be taken down and taken away? And help me to put you first in my life. And that's what I have for this evening. And I just pray that the Lord would walk with us this week, help us to make disciples, to be able to share out of our relationship with the Lord. And I pray that you would have a good quiet time with the Lord each day, studying the Word of God and praying, and that you would fill your heart up with the nice things of God, that you would be filled up with his worship, you know, that you'd be filled up with the Word of God, that you'd be filled up with holy songs in your heart, that you would have that to share with those that are around you as you go this week. I'm going to end up with a word of prayer and allow us to go forward from here. And I thank you for being with us tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you for bringing us into your kingdom and letting us to become your children. And you're just waiting for us to come to you, to cling to you, Lord, as little children, and to be comforted in the fact that you'll protect us and that you will lead us and guide us in the way we should go. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Help us to turn and repent. Help us to seek you first in all things, and knowing that when we pray in your will, whatever we would ask, it would be done. And Lord, we are going to ask salvation for those that we love and care for, and we're going to keep asking for that as your word of God has said tonight. And we know that sometimes we have to pray for years, but don't give up. Have patience and know that God does hear our prayers, and that he is a God who does love and care. And I pray as you go out this week, that each of us will be filled with your Spirit, and that we will have much to share. And we thank you, Lord, for the book of 1 John to encourage us in many of these things. And I pray you bring it to our remembrance as we study more in different parts of the Bible, that we be brought back to 1 John many times to remember that we have confidence in our salvation, that we have confidence that God loves us, and that we know that he hears us when we pray. It's in your name of your Son that we do pray tonight. Amen. Thank you for being with us. Remember that we do have church on Saturday night. Remember that we do have women's Bible study tomorrow, and that you'd be able to tune into that as well. And that we'll have men's study starting back up in November, November 7th and November 14th here at my house. So if you need to know more about that, contact me. And otherwise, I pray that you all have a great week. God bless.